up, get out right out of your bed, that's your quicksand. Getting rid anxiety and head, you can fix it. Rid of stigmas, all of them you said, we ain't listening. Just remember, try to do your best, you can win this.
Maurice Bernard, State of Mind.
Hello, State of Mind, how are you? I'm fine, thank you. Where you been all my life? If you like what you see, hit the button, subscribe, because it helps us out, helps me out. We've been doing well for, I think, 3 years now, maybe longer, I don't know. About 3 years. So today I have someone who, I met a family around over 10 years ago. And Jackie, Jim, Cole, Chase, Caston, he's a great family. I think we met at Chuck E. Cheese. Is it Chuck E. Cheese or Chuck E. Cheese? Chuck E. Cheese. and, you know, it was great. We hung out, whatnot. And a tragedy hit, which kind of, I don't want to say, it just made things incredibly, incredibly difficult for the family, dealing with the death. But I'm not gonna tell you the story. I'm gonna have Caston tell you the story. Caston, how are you?
Pretty good. Pretty good. How you doing?
What's your new last name? Because I just Marion. Forgot it. Marion, yeah. Because it used to be Chamberlain.
Yep.
The Chamberlains. I want that last name. I think it's cool. So we met, like I said, like over 10 years ago. And you would come over the house. Chase, your brother, would play with Joshua. And you and I would hang out. Am I right?
Yeah, I mean, cool hang out with Kaylee. I think all the kids kind of just hung out with each other.
Yeah, it was like, and I think I'm a kid, so I hung out with you guys.
Yeah.
And I think I would teach you acting, did I?
Yeah,
I mean, you know.
Kid acting.
Yeah, I always thought that you could be an actress. And Chase had that kind of James Dean kind of looking thing. So something happened to Cole,
yeah.
Right? You want to go into it and explain?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was on his way home, senior prom, got in a car accident that ejected him from the car because he wasn't wearing a seatbelt. And after 9 days, he passed away.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was really hard for me growing up.
You guys were like?
We were like this, dude. Like, we were best friends and it's really hard for my entire family. I mean, he was 17.
Oh, that's right. He was 17.
Senior year of high school. Just ready to become a man. It was really, really dark time in my life, for sure.
And that's the thing about seatbelts. You know, when we were young, everybody always, put your seatbelts on. Put your seatbelts on.
And you don't know why, really, until you live it.
Yeah. And now it's important to put your seatbelt
on. I always put on my seatbelt.
Yeah.
I, ever since, can't not put on my seatbelt. And I make sure everyone I know wears their seatbelt.
Yeah. So we threw a funeral for you.
Yeah.
You were young. You probably don't remember.
I was 11.
Yeah. And there was at least 200 or more people there.
Right. I remember
people
that much.
People really loved Cole. They loved your family. So what happens to a family after the death of a child?
Yeah. It's not easy. We had a missing person for every holiday, missing person at the dinner table, or we still do. It still feels that way.
Really?
Yeah, I grew up with him. I mean, he was my brother. He was my sibling. That was, people lose their parents later on in life, but you never hear about anyone losing their sibling as a child.
Yeah, yeah.
So that, was horrible, and I really had a hard time. As you know, you were there.
You were 11.
I was 11.
And then, so you were having a real hard time at that time for like a couple of years.
Oh, yeah.
Right? It
destroyed me. No doubt.
Yeah. And your parents are probably, I don't know, it's, I think you need a lot of therapy.
I need it all.
But I the still whole family, need therapy. But the whole family should get therapy when going through something like that. Because it's, I think it's not that, it's so difficult to go through it alone, without, to try to do it on your own is what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah. We aren't made to do things alone.
No. Exactly. No.
And I think we had a lot of people like your family that, and many other people that really were there for us. And I think we just have a lot of gratitude for community too. As family, yeah, I can say that.
Yeah, yeah, because we talked about it before. You need connection. How important is connection?
It's, to me, one of the most important things about being human.
Connection. Yeah.
Faith, connection. For sure, faith. I mean, if right. I didn't believe in God, I wouldn't be here. No doubt.
You know what's funny?
Hmm.
Now that you say that. I've had so many people in this chair talking about faith and God. And it's not like, if I'm cool with if you don't believe in God. I don't judge that at all.
Yeah, me neither. I mean, it's right? not for everybody.
No.
But it's definitely for me.
But I don't, I'm thinking, and maybe I'm getting too philosophical or whatever, but in these times, I think people are getting closer to faith.
Yes.
Right? Because I tell you, every time somebody's in my chair, we're talking about faith and God and this and this and that, which I think is fantastic. But I'm not saying it's fantastic because I believe in God. I just think it is great.
Yeah.
So grief is tough.
It has no mercy.
That's a good way of putting it. I like that. So what happened to you in your, you were bullied?
I wouldn't say bullied per se. I would say after some more
consideration. Now, how come it's a little bit, seems like a little hesitant every time my bully's brought up? Are you comparing yourself to people that are really bullied? Because bullying is bullying.
I think it was unintentional bullying.
Okay, I'll give you that.
I think it was kids being kids. That's why I say it. Because, you know, kids at school, what happens to your brother? Well, why isn't he here? I was 11. That felt like bullying to me. Why are you asking me questions about my trauma?
Right, right, right.
In the adult world, you never do that. So it felt like bullying in my heart. Yes. But, you know, it was kids being kids.
All right.
I can't blame those people. Yeah. Yeah, that's why I'm hesitant.
Yeah, yeah, I understand it. But so that pretty much turned into you called me.
Mm-hmm.
to come see you in a mental institution.
Yeah.
Now, can we tell the story of what happened?
I'll talk.
Okay.
I was really struggling. I mean, I had lost my best friend. I was 11 and I was craving a normal life that my friends had with all their siblings. I was craving a normal family, and I don't believe I wanted to die. I believe I wanted my pain to end, and I didn't know where to turn as a child who is going through middle school. I was at middle school age. I was in the sixth grade.
Yeah.
That's a hard age.
Yeah.
And I cut my wrist, and I attempted suicide, and it was one of the darkest moments of my life. for sure.
You were 13?
13. And I was admitted to a hospital. And it was just horrible. But I, in hindsight, I thank God for modern medicine. And I thank God for that institution, because that was my rock bottom to getting help. You know, that was my
bottom
to go up.
Yeah.
It was the beginning of a new hope almost.
Right. Beautifully said.
And I think we as a society demonize those institutions when a lot of people wouldn't be here if it wasn't for them. As horrible as they feel, and as you feel like you're a prisoner.
Yes.
But those places are there to save lives.
How long were you in there?
Man, I don't know. It wasn't too long. I'd say 5-7 days, maybe.
Oh, you were?
Yeah, it wasn't like a long thing, you know, but I did go to intensive therapy afterward for quite a while.
Yeah.
And that program was really great. I learned so many tools, and like, I think now as an adult, I can look back and say I'm thankful that we have in this society hospitals to be able to help us.
Yes. Well, you know, I had a tough experience in mine, but
I mean, it was that time.
I mean, you know, being tied down to a bed and the whole shebang, and, did you talk to other patients in there when you were in there?
Yeah.
Did you meet any friends, or you just kind of talked to people?
I kind of talked to people. I mostly kept to myself. I felt like, you know, while I was there, I felt like these people are not very positive. I don't want to make friends with these people. I mean, not these people, but I'm like, look, I'm here to get help. These people are not helping me.
Right. Yeah, I was... I don't know. I kept it myself also.
Right.
And, you know, I had my birthday.
Oh, my gosh. You had your birthday at the mental institution? Oh, man.
I was put in there at 21. And then March 1st came, my birthday.
Yeah, that's horrible.
I remember my parents coming with presents. There's bars on the wall. And people are, you know, I don't know if yours is the same, but like I'd be in my room. That's why it was so scary to me. I'd be in my room and I'd hear people yelling. And I'm like, I got to get out of here.
It definitely changed a lot since then.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you're not supposed to strap somebody down anymore.
That's illegal.
Right. Yeah.
That's. One of the first questions I asked when I got there, because I knew because of your experience.
So that's right.
Like, oh, no. I'm going to be shot to a man like Rudy's. No, man.
They say it's illegal, right?
It was basically like a therapy office that you just stayed in overnight.
Oh.
Nowadays, you know, I mean.
Well, when I went to visit you, it was interesting. I had to put on a good face, but.
Good thing you're an actor.
Yeah. Because I looked at your wrist, and it just broke my heart. And it's the first time I had been back to a mental institution, so it was kind of an odd feeling.
Mm-hmm.
So I know. Remember, we sat in a bench and we talked, and it was, you know, interesting. But then I left and I started crying because it just felt
heavy.
Heavy. Damn, you're smart. Okay, so what happens after that?
You know, I got help. I turned it around. I turned the narrative. I ended up graduating high school. I went to college. I'm almost done with my degree. But I got married and had a baby. So I'm kind of taking a break right now.
So that's the cool part. But you were diagnosed at some point with bipolar.
I think I was like 12.
And it was not bipolar.
No, it was just depression and anxiety.
But didn't you think to yourself, Yes, I'm bipolar, and my brother, Maurice, is bipolar.
Well, yeah. I was like, finally, someone gets me. I'm not that weird. If I'm weird, so is Maurice. It's fine.
That's cool.
But ended up, you know, in April last year, I had my baby, and she was great. I had a really traumatic birth experience, had an emergency C-section. It's no joke. I was bedridden for like 6 weeks.
Damn.
Couldn't really carry her or feed her the first 6 weeks, really. And had postpartum depression and anxiety. I had a 2-day hospital visit, and they were like, the psychiatrist there. So grateful for that experience. That was a very positive hospital experience.
Yeah.
As a psychiatrist there, Maurice, you spent 40 minutes with me every visit. 40.
Really?
Really. I couldn't believe it. And he was like, wait, so all of this happened to you at 12 and they diagnosed you with bipolar? Not even a year after your brother died. And he was like, well, that doesn't make much sense nowadays.
Plus, you didn't have any manias.
No, I wasn't manic. I was a little girl who went through some serious trauma.
Yeah.
And of course I have anxiety and depression from it.
Right.
I should.
Right.
Right. It makes me human.
Do you have anger issues?
I did, of course.
You worked on that?
Yeah. Of course, always a work in progress.
But anger could come from anxiety or depression because...
It's a secondary emotion.
Right. You feel so not good that you get upset. But mania, what I've been through, is a whole other thing.
Yeah, I never went through that.
The high and the high and the high and the... And then you come down in the crash, right?
Yeah, I can't really. That's why.
So then were they giving you medication for bipolar?
So that's another red flag.
Okay.
When I first was diagnosed, I went on bipolar meds and they didn't work for me.
Obviously.
And, you know, I take medication for anxiety and depression, low doses now and probably will for a while. It helps me.
Yeah.
But bipolar medication? Mm-mm.
No.
No.
Hell no.
It didn't work for me.
Because you're not bipolar.
I'm not even bipolar.
And and you take bipolar lithium and it's not good. I think it's not good.
It made
good.
Me like a zombie. Oh, I just was like tired and not good.
I've been taking lithium for 30 years. But I'm bipolar.
But you're bipolar.
So it's worked for me great. Lithium is, you know, the cover of my book, Nothing General About It. Love and lithium saved my life. So now you have anxiety and depression. What does anxiety feel like to you when you're in that state?
So at my worst, it's going to be racing thoughts like, I'm not good enough. I'm not normal. I'm not okay. None of this is okay. And, you know, my chest is going to be like, boom, 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 right. Really fast.
Do you get it most in the morning or at night? Or?
Oh, my anxiety has no timing.
I know. And it stays with you, right? Different levels?
Different levels, different
lengths. At night, it's the worst, right?
Not anymore.
Oh.
So, funny enough, I'm a great sleeper. So I'll go to bed at like 8 or 9.
You're lucky right there. Because what happened, when I talk to a lot of people with anxiety, the sleep, you know, sleep is the most important thing. That's how I gauge where I'm at with my anxiety, right? So you sleep great. That's fantastic. But lately, I have this thing, and I haven't talked about this much, where when I fall asleep, I feel this ugly, warm feeling, and I wake up. Now, yeah. I have sleep apnea also.
Yeah.
So maybe that's part of it. And then I try to do it again. Okay. So what happens? I don't want to fall asleep.
Well, I don't think anyone would want to.
Right. So that's scary because then my mind starts playing games like, oh, not again. It's going to have to deal with this. And, but so for you that you sleep.
I didn't always, though. Oh. I used to get anxiety at night. Then I was like, yo, I'm getting anxiety at night. I need to start getting on a sleep schedule.
Oh, so you didn't sleep well early in your life.
No, it made me anxious to stay up late. So I kind of played a trick on myself. I was like, well, I'm going to start going to bed at a good time. So that way I beat my anxiety.
So now you're just sleeping like a, you know.
Oh, I sleep like a baby.
Lucky. Lucky.
I don't know how I did it.
What about depression?
I think my biggest demon today is anxiety. I mean,
yeah, I know, me too.
I have depression. Of course I do. I mean, I've been through loss, but I feel like it comes more rarely.
Yeah.
I think we all feel a little depressed.
Yeah. What's funny with me, depression, I haven't had depression in like 7 years.
Must be nice.
It's very nice. But the anxiety is the Freddy Krueger.
Oh, yeah.
That's what scares me the most. Last time I got depressed, I had a premiere for a movie that 500 people came, and I thought that 500 people hated the movie, and it turned me into this depression that was really not really bad, right? Because depression is heavier. You don't want to do anything. You're
like, oh, I can't do this. Your mind's like, yo, I can't do this. Right. This isn't possible.
Right. But you know, but it's also your thoughts, like you said, your mind. But anxiety is different. It's not as heavy, right?
You know, I disagree.
Oh, really?
I can manage depression better than anxiety.
But that's what I'm saying. No. You can't. Well, I don't.
Anxiety is hard because, like,
I know anxiety.
My chest will be pounding and it'll be like, I can't do this. I literally can't go do this thing. I am too anxious for this.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, well, shoot, kind of thing. But, you know, I cope with it. I mean, you got to cope with it.
Do you know what I've been doing with anxiety? And I think it's helping me. I definitely try to make the uncomfortable comfortable. Okay. So I have I was talking to my therapist. He's in Paris. This is a while back during the pandemic, I think. And I was outside and I said, damn, it's cold out here. He goes, you don't like being comfortable, do you? So what I do now, somebody came to my house, a friend of mine. Mm-hmm. He said, let's go eat. And it was raining. Mm-hmm. I said, well, it's raining. Let's get in my car. He goes, no, let's walk. And I'm like, nah. He goes, come on. So I said, I'm going to make the uncomfortable comfortable. So I walked. I don't like being cold. I'm going to sit in the cold. You don't like anxiety? Lean into it. Don't run.
I love that.
Right?
I love that. That's a good challenge.
You see what I'm saying?
So
it's hard though, Kasten.
Yeah.
But
it's a skill. It's not a perfect practice. It's a practice you have to choose.
Right. But the walking in the rain is not hard, really, or the being the anxiety is hard to lean in. You know, when we get anxiety, right? It hits you, and you're like, oh, I gotta get.
You have to trick your mind and say, I have to make an active decision. But you know, it's funny you say that, because when I had Grace, I had postpartum anxiety and depression, real bad.
Damn.
And like, there were times where I just was so scared to even pick her up.
Wow.
Because I was just like, what if I trip on this carpet that's 20 feet away from me? What if I'm not a good enough mom?
Ooh, that's tough.
Oh, man. I was like, what if I'm too young and I'm not good enough for this? Because I'm 23 years old. I was 22 years old when I had her. And I'm just like, what if I can't do this? But
so your mind is, your anxiety is saying to you, don't do it.
And you know, there's a little beautiful, perfect human being involved. So it's a huge level.
It makes it harder.
Yeah, man. And I'm so thankful I've met like postpartum specific nurses and people, because I've learned that those thoughts are actually just your system playing a trick on you. Like, it's just a system trying to protect the baby.
Yeah.
And you're thinking your worst case scenarios.
Maybe Freddy Krueger's in your head too.
Yeah. Right. I have anxiety.
That's what I'm saying. And Freddy's going, don't go over there and step over there. You're going to fall down. You're going to drop the baby.
Oh, yeah. Rawr, 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 rawr.
But that's, I love seeing this. Lately, I've been talking to a lot of people that have anxiety and stuff. And it's like, I feel good about it.
You feel like validated. You're like, yeah, I have anxiety too. You're right. Freddy Krueger's not cool.
I try to beat Freddy Krueger up, but man, he gets me, man. And then when he's got a hold of me is the worst, right? I mean, you just...
That's like, when you have to make an active decision to work with him.
I know, but...
That's when it's most important.
But you know, what I've been doing, which is actually interesting. This is a great anxiety conversation. What I've been doing is when he gets me, I just think about me in the kitchen and I'm having these bad thoughts. And then I say, I love you, Freddy. I love you. Come on. Let's have a good time.
Let's boogie.
You're my friend. And it does help.
It does.
Because you're not so running scared.
It's your body saying, yeah. Yo, I care so much. I'm going to be anxious about this.
Right. All right. Listen. I want to talk. It's been a great talk. You're doing well. They don't know. They don't know what's up. I got a call one night.
You just had to. Yeah.
And it was Will. Is that his name?
Yes, Will, my wonderful husband.
Husband. And I heard you in the background. You were losing yourself.
Freddy Krueger. Freddy Krueger was winning.
Yeah, Freddy Krueger was winning. And your husband, I never met him. I may have been the first time I talked to him. Maybe.
It was.
Okay. He said, look, could you talk to Kasten? Can you do this? I said, yeah, what's going on? He goes, blah, 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 blah. And how he spoke about you and what he said, I was like, oh, my God, he loves Kasten. So I said, yeah, get her on. And I know you because you know me.
Just a little.
And as soon as I started talking to you, you got quiet. And I said to you.
Well, yeah, and I knew I was in the wrong.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I said to you, what are you doing? Yes. I don't know your husband, but make him your friend, not your enemy. He loves you. I could tell by the words that are coming out of his mouth. It's unreal how much he loves you.
I know.
And I think you got it. You got it. What happened after that? Did you guys... something else happened after that, no?
Or yeah, that's when I was...
In the hospital?
Right.
Yeah.
You know, that night was really hard.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on.
Yeah.
We had just had Grace, and we were trying to figure things out.
Yeah.
Things got better. Like, a few days later. I think it was the next day. I was hospitalized. And, you know, when I got home, you know, it was my worst fear to go back to a place like that.
Oh, yeah.
But if I hadn't, Maurice, I wouldn't be here saying it both those times were positive.
I get you.
I would have been like, yeah, that was the worst thing. You know, going back, facing your demons wasn't that bad.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oddly enough. And so when I get out, well, Will had a big part in me going back.
Of course.
If Will didn't step in, I wouldn't have gone back.
Damn.
And, you know, Will, he was like, so, are we done? Are you that mad at me that we're done? And I just look at him like, what? And he was like, well, I made you have to face your worst fear. You must hate me now.
Wow.
And I think that statement and me being like, yeah, you're right, but I love you anyway. What? Like, I think that was one of the best human conversations I ever had, man. Like, it was raw. It was, you know what? I did this and I'm sorry, but it was best for you. And I hate that that was my act of love, but I had to make you face the worst. And, you know, we got stronger together through that. Yeah. We had to have a lot of conversations, you know, establish a lot of trust again. But I think it made us stronger together as a family.
Of course.
And I think it was one of the better things that happened. I mean, it was horrible, but I was able to receive help and be able to trust my husband more and know, like, everything I went through was hard. I went through a lot, but that doesn't mean the world is out to get you.
No.
There's a big victory in facing your fears and going through it with people you love and finding community. Like, after that happened, both sides, everyone in our family came together and we all worked through it together. And like we mentioned earlier, we're better in community. And I think that's a prime example of that.
Wow. Beautifully said. And we're going to conclude this on that. That was a nice, beautiful, listen, what, I know I say this quite a lot, but you know, it's the truth. What Kasten did here, this is somebody who's not a celebrity, doesn't go on camera or anything. She just wanted to tell her story, her truth. And she did it with such class and just, it was, for me watching, I'm so proud of her because I've known her for a while. And I want more young people to come in here because I think it's the young generation who needs a lot of help.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And when they hear stories of, like yours, of triumph and hope, gives them that in whatever they're going through.
There's hope in every story. You just have to look for it.
Right. So thank you. I appreciate it, Kasten. And amazing.
Thanks.
State of mind.